the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey, and welcome to the Business Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in today's podcast, I've got a very special guest by the name of Jason Strachan. Welcome, Jason. How are you doing today?
Hey, Daniel. Fantastic to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Fabulous. It's my pleasure. So just to explain where Jason fits in the whole scheme of these podcasts. So Jason's an awesome copywriter. So if you've got copy that's going out there, if you've got a sales page and it's not converting, then Jason's a person that you need to speak to. And we're going to talk a little bit why as to why that is. But where does Jason fit into the whole scheme of things with wealth creation? Well, as you know, if you've listened to the podcast, we've got three rules. Cut your costs, generate cash, and invest the rest. Obviously, investing the rest is property, but the generating cash part, that's where copywriting comes in. Because if you can't generate the cash, how are you supposed to be able to invest into any assets and that sort of thing? So, Jason, how long have you been a copywriter for, just out of interest?
Oh, man. At least over 10 years now. So quite a while.
What got you into it?
Do you know, it's funny. When I started out, I actually had the intention of being a novelist and then into a poet. And
cool.
Then I was like, right, used to write like sad love poems to girls and song lyrics and all this kind of stuff. And then it wasn't until like I finished uni where I realized.
Dude, I got to ask you, did that stuff work?
It didn't, funnily enough, no. And it was around then I realized, along with the failed relationships and all of that embarrassment and kicks in the nuts repeatedly, I realized, you know, writers don't actually make any money until they're dead. And I thought, okay, yeah. Looking at this as a long-term opportunity, it's not very viable.
Yeah.
So that's when I found out about copyright, direct response copywriting.
Okay.
Where it was a way that I could actually use my writing skills to actually make a little bit of money. So I found a mentor that was doing really well on it online and having a lot of success with a lot of companies in America and in Europe. And I contacted him, and this is back in the days of Microsoft Messenger.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, how did you get started? Can you help me? And his like first message back to me was like, get lost. And I was like, he's like really rude. And but I'm a persistent type of dude, you know, as you get to know me better, Daniel. And he was like, later on I found out the reason why he was so rude is because he used to get that question all the time from people. And they try and help them, and they never do anything with the information. So that kind of made him quite mean with people approaching him in those days.
Yeah.
So what he did, he sent me a challenge, and he said to me, "Look, if you're really interested in learning this stuff, go and read Ogilvy, go and read Claude Hopkins, go and read all of these authors, and then once you've read all these books, then come back to me and we'll talk." So on that day, I must have sprinted out to the bookshop and to the library and went and got every single book I could. I was lining all the ads, went through all the exercises. A week later, I went back to him and I was like, go on then, I'm ready, test me. He was, oh, for God's sake, he's back again. And and then afterwards, he kind of, I think he was more impressed by my persistence than anything else.
Yeah.
He thought, okay, you know, he took me under his wing, and then became his apprentice. And that's how I kind of like learned the trade. And then I started going to events along with him as well, like meeting people. And it all just snowballed from there, really.
Fabulous. So I love the fact that it set you a challenge. In NLP, we call that behavioural tasking.
Okay.
So we do it where we get someone to go do something. It can be completely irrelevant. I'll give you an example. We had a guy and he wanted to stop smoking.
Yeah.
And he's a school teacher. And I said, yeah, I can help you do that using NLP. I've done it before. We can help you do that. It's not it's not my main thing, but it's NLP, right? We can do all sorts of crazy stuff. So
yeah.
I asked him to go and buy a pad and a pen.
Mm-hmm.
In order to write down all the people that he was surrounding himself with whenever he lit up. So whenever he had a cigarette, write down the names of all the people. Also write down their telephone numbers, so then I could phone them up and ask them if they wanted to stop smoking too. But that was a weak point. So, but he said to me, he said, well, I'm a school teacher. I can get a pad from school and I can get a pen from school. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I want you to go and buy them. It's like 80p for a pen, a pound for a pad. It's not going to cost you much.
Mm.
No, well, I'm not going to do that because that's just silly.
Mm.
And so the fact that he refused to do such a simple task meant that he was uncoachable.
Right, okay.
Does that make sense? So, like, yeah. The fact that you went out and you literally ran out and you bought all the stuff and you were looking at it, it meant that you were coachable. And that's what he was testing you on. And it's, so that is the persistence. And so many people, I tell people to go do stuff, and I know they don't go do it, you know. It's very frustrating when that happens. So awesome, hats off to you for actually getting started and doing it. And so what sort of stuff do you work on? Do you work on direct mail specifically, or is it online stuff, or is it a mixture of both?
It's really a mixture of both. The way I advise clients, whether it's coaching clients that I'm consulting with or just writing copy for, is always don't limit yourself to one medium. Always test both. The beauty of the internet is it is cheaper to test. So that allows you to hone your message very cheaply with things like Facebook ads and not even so much Google AdWords these days. It's quite expensive. But once you actually got a message that works, I always suggest using direct mail as well, along with your efforts to really maximize what you're doing. Definitely. So yes, to answer your question, I work on a mixture of direct mail and the online stuff, definitely.
I've got it. And so, like, when most people are thinking about, because literally all you're doing, right, is using words. And so there's only 26 letters in the alphabet. And so people are going, but surely one word can't be different than another word. And so I've got a word written down, and I just want to talk about it for a little bit of time, just because I talked about this word in the coaching session I just did before we came live. And the word is obsessed.
Yes.
Where some people would say, and I've been called this word obsessed, are you obsessed by money? And I would change that to dedicated. Now, actually, they both mean the same thing, but one's a derogatory term and one is an uplifting term. And when people go, well, it's just words, how can words change stuff? And when you go, you know, let's say you like football, for example, and you're practicing because you want to make the team, and you're obsessed by football, then it's really negative. But if you're dedicated by football, then that's really awesome. Why is it that our sportsmen and women are dedicated to winning an Olympic medal, but if you're dedicated to making money, it's frowned upon?
That is an interesting point.
And you're obsessed by money, not dedicated. No, I'm dedicated. And it's just one word can change your whole outlook on how you see life. Yeah. One of the things I'm always consciously aware of are the words that come out of my mouth. So, and I'm making lots of hand gestures here as I'm pretending the words are coming out of my mouth. Because that's really telling you what's going on in your state of mind.
Yes.
So when you're writing your copy, if you're in a bad state of mind, you're going to write bad copy.
It's true.
Right?
That's very true. You have to, state of mind you're in when you're writing copy is essential.
What do you do to get into a great state of mind? Or are you just one of those people who's just happy regardless? Having met you a couple of times, I'd say you're a pretty happy guy anyway.
I am a bit, actually. I'm quite gregarious. I'm always positive. But you know, I have days where I'm not. So, you know, if I have an argument with the missus or what have you, or the kids are, you know, playing up on the school run or what have you, you know, I have those days also. So on those days, what I like to do is just, you know, sit down, just take time out, stop for 5 minutes. The problem is that what I see with a lot of entrepreneurs, they reckon they can't stop. And whenever what I always tell them, if you feel like you can't stop, you need to stop. Okay. That's when you need to. And what I'll do at that point is a stop, take 5 minutes, have a coffee. I don't know, make yourself a little bit of breakfast. Depends on where you are. Okay. Just give yourself a little bit of pleasure. I know you're Daniel. You're sitting out there in beautiful Spain. You just go and jump in the pool, wouldn't you?
We went paddleboarding on Sunday for the first time ever.
Yeah.
I knelt down on a paddle. Yeah. It's like a width of a surfboard and you just got a paddle. Yeah. Knelt down on it. It's fine. You stand up. You're straight off it. It's really hard.
Yeah.
But we did this bit where you just lie back and you have your eyes closed and your hands are in the sea. We're quite far out.
Yeah.
And you're just floating. I'm on factor 50, which is like putting cottage cheese on you because I'm so pale. Just to make sure I don't come back looking lobster-like.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, great example of words right there. So, like, coming back looking lobster-like is a great example of a word because instantly there's a recognition as to what I might look like.
Yeah.
And this is the power of words, right? But I was laid back and I had my hands in the sea and my eyes closed and just doing some breathing exercises on this board.
Yeah.
I felt like I could have fallen asleep. It was beautiful. And just getting away from it all, you know, just to go away and meditate or just a bit of calm. I've got noise-cancelling headphones, for example, and just putting them on with nothing on, just putting on the noise-cancelling and just slow breathing and just coming back to source. Really, really powerful.
Oh, yeah, without question. Meditation, I find, is really, really powerful. Just being present in the moment. You know, it's fine. I've got a dog as well, a bull mastiff, and a couple of a dog to Bordeaux. What I do is spend time with my dog. We'll go for a walk, you know, take him around the fields and what have you.
Dogs are just so happy, aren't they? They're just great.
Yeah.
Great for changing state, and they're just happy about everything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're always in the present. So that kind of rubs off on you as well. Yeah. So it's the important thing that you get in the present, and you get excited. You want to get excited. So your music, as I find, is one of the prime things for that.
Is this wordless music?
For me, no. I like reggae music.
Got it.
But it can also be wordless music. Anything that gets you feeling great is fine. So if it's classical, if it's pop, whatever it is to you that gets you dancing, that gets you moving, and gets you feeling good, will help you just tear it down. Because what copy is? It's you moving, putting words on paper. When you write something from your heart, it goes to their heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need to be in a state that you want to give to them. You know, enthusiasm, you know, you're infusing them with your ideas. You're infusing them to want to go and buy your product or go and contact you about a property that that you can help them out with,
yeah,
or whatever it is. You want that message to come from your heart. So you really need to get in that state. And that's when you'll deliver, you know, the right message.
I've got it. Okay, and what sort of... So when you're sitting down to write copy, where do you begin? I'm assuming, okay, but you begin with the end in mind as to what you want the result to be.
Yes.
And then do you work backwards from that?
You do. The most important step, though, is to become your buyer. Right. Sit down for a minute and really, really picture who it is you're trying to communicate with. Mentally go through a quick snapshot of their life and their problem. Try and experience being them. Okay, and then when you come to write, act as if you're like trying to persuade yourself. Okay, but you visually go through being them. Picture their day. They're getting up for, I don't know, let's say they're someone who is falling into arrears on a property that they don't want. Maybe it's a buy-to-let property or what have you. Okay, they don't want the property anymore. It's giving them headaches. Tenants are getting on their nerves. They get dealing with all this paperwork. They just want rid of it. You know, they want to go and spend time with their family. They want to go and move abroad. They've got things they want to do, but they can't get rid of this damn property.
Yeah.
Okay. Now become them for a minute. And then your headline goes, wait a minute, stop. Do you have a property you need to get rid of? Is there cash flow that you want to have in your hands now? You know, let the words fall out. You can go back and re-edit it later. But doing that, once you become them, the copy, and you just write from what you want to hear as if you were them, then it will practically write itself.
So there's a saying, and I can't remember, I'm sure you'll know it, I can't remember who it was, and it was write drunk, edit sober.
Yeah, Gary Benchfinger. Yeah, that is, yeah, that's what you want to do. Well, Gary Benchfinger wrote a version of it. It was kind of like, edit like the Supreme, write drunk, edit like the Supreme Court Justice. But yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to, when it comes to writing your first draft, you know, there's this saying about a lot of people say to me, "What do you ever get writer's block?" You know, it's nonsense. There's no such thing. It's like if a prospect knocked on your door and they said, "Hello, can you help me?" You wouldn't say, "I don't know." You wouldn't sit there with your hand over your mouth. You know, you'd talk back. Okay, you wouldn't get blocked on what to say. So that means you already know what to say. It's just you're letting the act of writing get in your way.
Yeah.
All you do is just talk, become them, and talk. Just say what you'd normally say in person and just transcribe it on paper. If you don't even want to use the writing part, just open up the recording app on your phone and record yourself and then go back and write it down later. In fact, that's often the best way of doing it.
Yeah.
For most people. If you're not a writer, you don't need to be. All it is communicating from your heart to theirs.
Yeah.
So that is definitely the first step. It's more important that you write the truth from a sense of solving their problem. From feeling how it feels to be them, that's what will get you the higher conversions.
I've got it. So actually, the biggest thing I'm taking from this really is that state of mind when you're sitting to do copy, whether you're writing it or recording it, that state of mind and listening to music and so on. And then you can, you know, like get into a happy mood and then just let it flow from the heart.
Yes.
That's the most powerful type of copy going. And you don't have to be an expert. I mean, I got a C, by the way, at GCSE in English and an F in physics, by the way.
Mm.
I love quantum physics and stuff. And so those exams and things that people say, oh, well, I can't do it because I only got a B or a C or a D or whatever. It's just total rubbish.
Oh, it's total rubbish. Total.
I got a D in economics, for God's sake. And here I am, financial degree. And, you know, my school teacher is obviously still a school teacher 20 years later, 30 years later. So, but it's like, it's just putting yourself into state so that you can communicate from the heart.
That's right.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so in terms of results then, so you will take someone who, I guess you get two types of clients. One who knows they need a copywriter straight off the bat, and they sign you up, great. Mm-hmm. The second type is someone who's had a go, and then you got to go in and fix it.
Yeah. So
what sort of differences in response and results there?
Well, if it's someone that understands the value of copy, that means they've probably run promotions in the past. They may have done a few tests or what have you. So they'll know reasonably what a good copywriter can bring to the table in terms of conversions. Yeah. For that type of client, they'll normally contact me because they have a new product that's launching. They know that if I write a copy for it, it's going to deliver. So what I'll do is those type of projects come to me pretty regularly. I'll just start on them and I'll do the job and, you know, hopefully get the results that the guys are looking for. When it's someone new who's had a go with it and I can see what they're trying to do, but it's just, you know, they've probably just got a book and had a go at doing it themselves. What I'll do is I'll normally end up just gutting the thing totally and just going at it again, just changing the headline, really getting into the state and just writing the right story that connects with the audience and just brings in the audience. You're talking thousands of percent increase in response. But that's because, you know, when you've been doing anything for 10 years or over, you get good at it. You know, that's really all there is to it. It's just practice, the whole 10,000 hours thing. It takes ages. You know, I've been doing copywriting for so long. It's probably a lot longer than 10 years now, since I was 21. And it is a dedication to me where I am. I was going to use the word obsessed and I had to stop myself.
That's a negative word. You're not allowed.
There you go. It's something I dedicated to. It's something I'm very passionate about. You know, if you ask me to go and fix my car, if my car breaks, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. If my roof starts leaking, I'm screwed. But write a sales letter, write an advert. That's where I'm like a fish in the water.
Yeah. But, okay. So in terms of cost, because this is sort of the reason why people don't use copywriters is because they go, well, the cost is prohibitive, and it's because they've allocated the cost being to the outgoing of money that they're going to have to spend to hire the copywriter without knowing what that return is likely to be coming back. And so they say, well, it's prohibitive cost-wise. Or they'll go, well, I haven't got a budget for a copywriter. We've got a budget for £1,000 a month on Facebook, but we haven't got a budget for a copywriter. Mm. And it's like you're throwing away your budget anyway if you have not got the copywriter, because we can get thousands or hundreds percent of increase.
That's right.
So what do you say to people who, like, it's an unknown quantity, they've never hired a copywriter before.
Mm.
What do you say to people?
I always say to people, when you're choosing a copywriter, you want to pick someone who has a track record in your field. That's the most important thing. Look for someone who's got a track record. Okay. First of all. Secondly, have a look at your work themselves. Have a look at their work yourself. Okay. You might not be an expert, but if you look at their work and you feel like the products they're writing about get you interested, then you know that other people reading the work they're going to do for you are going to be interested. Let your own gut feeling get involved. Doesn't matter if you don't feel you're an expert. You already know whether you can be persuaded or not. Okay? So that would be my top two pieces of advice. Look at their track record and look at their work as well. That will definitely advise you. In regards to the returns you're going to get with copy, it's really about looking at things from an investor's mindset. When you're creating a marketing piece, you're creating an asset. Okay. For example, if I create a sales page like I've done for myself recently, okay, what happened is I put the sales page online. It's a video sales letter. When traffic, I don't even promote it. I don't spend any time on it at all. If I let other people, affiliates, promote my sales page that I've created, it's like opening a property. They send traffic to it. Okay, they take 75%, sometimes up to 90% of the front end commissions. All my commission goes straight into my account. I don't do anything. I just leave it alone. It's hands free. It's like having a property, putting in the effort to make that property good, so people actually want to live there. Okay, it's like having good quality copy is like the difference between having a rundown, no heating, no windows property, stinking of shit. Okay, I hope this is not X-rated, this podcast. Okay, right? But it's like, you wouldn't rent a property out like that and expect to get a lot of rental income, okay? Yeah. Because no one's going to want to live there. So it's worth, in that case, paying 10 grand for someone to renovate it. In the same way, when you're hiring a copywriter, you will create a marketing asset that when people see it, they take action, they send you money. And if you have to pay 10 grand, 5 grand, or whatever it is you're paying to get that, then it makes sense, because what's going to happen then is you've got a marketing asset that works. People see it, they want to throw money at it, and it's filling your bank account every month without you doing anything. Yeah. Or the alternative is you do it yourself. It's like gutting your house yourself. If you don't know what you're doing, it's probably going to be crap. No one's going to want to live at your property. Or if you're just buying something else, if you're just creating something that's already run down, it won't get you anywhere either. So that's the whole, that's hopefully that nutshells it for you, why you need to invest in a copywriter or learn it yourself. You know, take or just focus on what you're doing. I've got a kind of ebook I'm going to give you a link to, Daniel, that will help a lot of your readers as well in getting started with this, if it's of interest too.
I tell you what though, it's like they could learn it themselves, but then why not learn, like, I don't know, heart surgery in case a relative goes into hospital, learn that as well. And then what about being a mechanic?
Yeah, that is.
If you're jumping on a plane and going on holiday, well, maybe you need to learn how to fly a plane as well.
It's true.
And to save a bit of money, you know, you'll certainly be multi-skilled but very poor. And it's an easy path for people to fall down. And it's like people need to understand that you've got to concentrate on what you're good at. I know people go, focus on your weaknesses. Screw my weaknesses. I can pay someone else to do that. If I focus on what I'm good at, I get paid a lot of money for what I'm good at. Some people are still asking what it is. But I get paid a lot of money for coaching. I don't get paid a lot of money for, I don't know, fixing cars. Why would I do that? That's why I send my car to the garage and let them do it. And I think it's the same on copywriting.
Yeah.
Pay the bloody copywriter. You're best focusing on doing the thing that they're really good at, be it coaching or buying properties below market value, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
Long copy versus short copy is always the biggest argument. Has that changed, like, recently? Because our attention spans are getting less and less.
Nah, still hasn't changed. It'll never change. It will become, with the increased deficit in attention spans, it will become harder. And with a lot of competition, it just means the copy has to be better. It just means the copywriter won't get away with making vague claims. You know, it won't get away with bullshit. The bullshit detectors will be sky high. People won't have patience to read through boring copy. You bore them for a minute, or if they don't believe you for a minute, if you're not writing from your heart with sincerity, they will be gone. So it means the bar's raised, but the rules never change.
So long copy will outsell short copy?
It will always outsell short copy.
My take on this, for those that are listening, long copy outsells short copy, because if someone's invested 10 pages worth of reading your thing rather than someone who's read a single page, they're much more invested in what you've got to offer. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's right. Plus, you know, that old adage, the more you tell, the more you sell.
Got it.
You know, if you're going to, if you want to convince someone to buy your car or something, you're better off, you know, with a heartfelt letter. If it's just you writing one-to-one to them, then you are, you know, with a tiny paragraph. Yeah, so, long copy will always outsell shorter copy. Although, you know, it has to be interesting, has to be engaging. You have to be putting the customer first in your mind with every word that you write.
Yeah, because I do know a lot of people talk about I rather than you.
Yeah.
When we're writing copy, and it's like, obviously it's a big mistake in marketing, which then leads me on to what are the biggest mistakes that you see people making on their sales pages?
Yeah, well, that would be the biggest one. You know, you see it so much nowadays. You know, we are an ABC company and we believe blah, 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 blah. And this is the stuff they put on their homepage.
Yeah.
You know, when someone's first going to visit your site, and that's no good. You know, as a business, your job is solving a problem of some kind. So, when someone's visiting your website or looking at one of your marketing pieces, the first thing you need to say is let them know how you can solve their problem.
Yeah.
Okay. That's number one. And you do that with an inner headline. Okay. That's the first thing you've got to do. Second mistake is, you know, having a great big company logo or header dominating most of your page. Okay. When someone visits your site or they pick up your direct mail page, they're going to look at your top of your page, and if it doesn't grab them in the first couple of seconds, it's going in a bin, or they're online. The attention spans are even shorter online. You're talking about half a second, you know, and then they're gone. So you want to make sure that above the fold, you've got a compelling headline that reveals how you can help them solve their problem. Ideally, you want to have some proof elements on there as well. And just, you know, to establish yourself, you want to have like your phone number on there. You want to have some contact details. You want to have perhaps a testimonial if you can get it up there as well. Or, yeah, you know, association logos showing that you're established in whatever it is that you do. You know, you want to have as much as you pack it, as much as you can above the fold.
Or so it's like credibility right there, isn't it? With testimonials and alignment to other logos, it's getting that credibility.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely getting the credibility. I mean, what I mean by logos is just where you see it on websites and adverts in the yellow page. Well, when you used to have the yellow pages, it don't work so much anymore. And they had the whole logo dominating their adverts. And no one's interested in your logo.
If you're gonna I've got a saying, and logo is spelled E-G-O. Literally, the only person who cares about your logo is the person, well, two people actually, the person that's asked the person to design it, a car with a squeaky wheels just driven past, the person who's, you know, the owner of the business, because it's his business and he's interested in his logo, and then the person who's paid to create the logo, they're the two people who tell you a logo's really important. Nobody else gives a shit.
That's right. And I blame one of the industries I blame for that is the advertising sales business, because you get a lot of advertising sales reps who will say anything to get the business owner to want to spend more money. So they'll agree with what they're saying with their ego, saying, "Oh, that logo looks brilliant. How much did you spend on that? That's fantastic. Yeah. Should buy a bigger advert for it." And of course, the business owner, feeling their ego getting pumped up now, you know, feeling the impending pleasure of having their name in lights. All right. Well, you know, we'll spend more money running the ad and then get no results because the customers don't care.
When I had my lettings agency, I think I've told this story on another podcast, and we got Leeds United, because my business was based in Leeds. They phoned us up, and they didn't ask me to play, by the way, although it wouldn't have made a difference in the team, I think, quite frankly. But they asked me to advertise the name of the letting agency. You know those billboards that go around the football field?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why would we do that? They're like, well, there's tens of thousands of people looking at your brand name, your logo. It's branding. And I was like, what's branding then? And then, well, it's just everybody knowing your name, isn't it? And I was like, you don't have a bloody clue what branding is. Branding is the brand value. It's the bit of real estate that's held within someone's head about how they feel about you and what you can do to help them. It's not a logo. It's, you know, especially for the little people. For the big people like Coca-Cola, it might be more like that. But for the little people, it's like, well, what problem can you solve? That's branding right there. And branding happens at every aspect of a transaction, be it even in a bad transaction. I bought a Lenovo notebook, terrible notebook. Here we are talking about that terrible notebook. That's branding right there. The fact that I had a terrible experience, now other people are listening to that as well. And people just don't seem to sort of grasp that. They focus so much on their logo rather than actually focusing on what's the biggest thing that I can do to help someone today. And if they just focus on that, then they'll close more business. And if they can communicate that in their marketing, then they'll obviously, you know, make a lot more money.
Oh, definitely. So the second thing, you know, you should want to be unique. Okay, when you're starting out, one of the best pieces of advice is when you're first entering a market, and you want to study at what works. You want to find out what the most successful players in your market are doing. So what you want to do is start compiling your own swipe file. You want to look for adverts and flyers that you see getting sent out again and again and again. Don't judge them because you don't like the look of them, because they might look crap. They might be really rough looking. It might even have a spelling mistake on it. And you might think, okay, this can't be working. It looks crap. But if someone is paying money, sending out again and again and again, it means it's working.
So we've put stuff out there with spelling mistakes on purpose that's worked.
Really?
Yeah. We spell, we have bandit boards, and it says we'll pay your mortgage, and we spell mortgage wrong on purpose.
We
drop the T, and people think it puts them into a position of power, and then they make the phone call.
Yeah,
but really secretly we're in a position of power because we know we spelt it wrong and we know what we're doing. So it just gives them a perceived sense of power, and then it enables us to cut straight into building rapport. And then they realize that actually we do know what we're talking about, and then but we have to move that we have to transform that conversation on to move the power to us so that we can then help them. But and people are going, that's stupid, that'll never work. And then the We Buy Houses for Cash leaflets, we got full gloss, full colour, very corporate-y looking things. And then we got handwritten, very scruffy looking stuff. And it depends, some will outsell some of the others and vice versa, depending on time of year, the market that you're attracting and so on. But You know, so a swipe file, for those that have never heard of it, is basically just anything that you like the look of, take a picture of it or keep a copy in like a file effectively. So you can go back and replicate what you've learned from that.
Mm. Pay attention. The most important thing to pay attention to, not so much like the look of it. Does it make you want to call them?
Yeah.
Pay attention to things. Even if look at things outside of your industry as well. If it's something that you get for car tires or whatever, but it makes you think, oh, okay, this is kind of good. You know, I'll keep this. I'll ring them. Okay, if it works on you, it'll work on others. Okay, and that'll give you an example of why, and then you want to analyze why it works and take those factors and put them in your stuff. So keep a collection of stuff that works on you. Yeah, when you go to buy something, analyze, stop next time you go and respond to an advert or something and ask yourself, why am I responding to this? What is it about this site or this leaflet that's making me respond? And then just try and pick those commonalities out. A lot of direct response is about patterns. It's about analyzing what makes you buy. Because believe it or not, everyone thinks they're a special snowflake in some way, but we're really not. We're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
We're all kind of respond to the same triggers. That's how like the politicians manage to like get us to do whatever they want, because we're all typical and we respond in the same way. That's what allows people like myself to kind of write adverts that get high responses, because you look at the market and you look at generally what people are responding to, and people will respond generally in the same way to it. So there is kind of science to it.
Let me tell you what drives me nuts. So, like, I don't spend a lot of time in England. And when I am in England, I don't really watch a lot of TV, but I do switch on the TV if the kids are around, and I get to see adverts. Mm. And even I, and with nowhere near as much experience and knowledge as you have as copywriting, but we've got a little bit, you know. But I see adverts on telly or listen to them on the radio. I'm like, what is that advert about? It must drive you crazy.
It does a lot of the time. There's so much bad advertising out there, it's not funny.
Okay. And these are big businesses who are spending tens, hundreds of thousands of pounds on creating an advert message without even filming it. It's cost that much money.
Yeah.
And someone's signed that shit off and you're like, what are you doing?
It does. It blows your mind. It does blow your mind.
Is there anything that really winds you up right now?
Oh, man, that does wind me up completely. Yeah, I see it so much. The stuff on the radio, stuff on the TV. It does drive me bonkers the amount you see the bad advertising you see on there. Sometimes you do get the odd good advert on there where it makes me smile, but most of it is really terrible.
I was going to ask you, in terms of your process then, how long does it take you from start to finish? So let's say I come to you and I say, okay then Jason, I need a copywriting for a sales page. I've got this product to sell. How long is that process likely to take? And I suppose it's any ideas on sort of pricing, because, you know, these are the questions that people will want to know. Was how much is it? Is it a grand? Is it 10 grand? Is it 100 grand?
Mm. It varies. For example, if you look at, let's say, a video sales letter, which is working really well for information products. If you've got some information on an area of business or a relationship product, or a self-improvement product, or if you're knowledgeable about health or something like that, and you put it all into a product, and now you want to sell that product, you want to create like marketing that sells it without you having to do anything, so it makes money while you sleep, that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, that'd probably take me about 3 weeks to create the script for it. You're looking at an investment of between, you know, 5 to 10 grand. Usually there's a payment of royalties with that as well. Of around 5% based on the gross sales that it generates. And that's normally, it starts from there.
So what's going to happen is people are listening to this, right, and they're going, 3 weeks? 3 whole weeks? These are people who have spent 5 minutes on writing content on the sales page.
Mm.
And then they launch the sales page and then they wonder why it's not working. And then they compare that to what you just said, where you, as an expert with 10 years plus experience,
mm,
working all sorts of different stuff, and you spend 3 weeks on it. And it's like, just so that people understand the difference, is literally like someone having a rollerblade, like, you know, roller skate,
mm-hmm,
versus someone having a Ferrari.
Yeah.
That's, like, literally, that's the difference between what you do and what a normal entrepreneur / small business owner does.
Yeah.
And they would go, well, I can't justify £7,500. I can't justify £7,500. Mm. But if it's £1,000 product, it's only 7.5 people that you need to actually close.
That's right.
And so what sort of conversion rates do you get? And or can you talk about how you've improved a conversion rate from when the business owner did it and then how you've done it and what the improvement is there.
Oh, man, I've seen conversion rates go from 2% up to 26% when I've rewritten letters for them.
And is that from cold traffic, like Facebook ads, or is that from warm traffic, i.e. people who signed up on an email list?
This is from cold, that's purely cold traffic.
Wow.
Using Facebook ads. There's also house ads, there's also house mailing that I've taken from, you know, just barely hitting 1% up to 5%. Upsell pages, I've gotten over to 50% conversion rates. You know, once I find someone who's got a really good product and is established and everything else, all the other pieces are in place, normally good copy is the only thing holding them back, and that's when you can make some massive profits there. Because that's normally the only X factor that's missing. They've got everything else lined up. The only thing they haven't got is that killer edge of actually selling, of actually getting the conversion, getting people seeing their market and taking action, and then getting out their card and buying and buying and buying. That's the only thing they're missing.
I just want to drill down into those numbers. So you took it from 2% to 26%. So like 2% is that 1 in 50?
1 in 50. 1 in 50.
1 in 50. So you've taken it from 1 in 50 to 1 in 4, effectively.
Yeah.
2% to 26%. Mm. So 1 in 50 is like, so every 100 sales, you literally get 2 sales.
That's right, yeah.
2 sales. Whereas on the other one, for every 100 people who hit that page, you're going to make 26 sales.
That's right.
And I break down numbers to like the lowest common denominator so people can understand what it actually means in real terms.
Because
from 2 to 26% doesn't mean anything.
Mm.
But when I say if you spend £1 per click on Facebook, which is probably quite expensive, but those people land on that sales page as cold traffic, so if they don't know who you are, you're going to get 2 sales. You've been taking the same cold traffic to 26 sales at £1,000 each. You just made 26 grand having paid out $7,500 plus the 5%. Like, no one's even going to care about the 5%.
Exactly.
So it's like, that's, and obviously all results aren't equal. You're going to get some that are slightly better, some that are slightly worse.
Yeah.
But just to show the real example as to what's different, because that's amazing. I mean, I'm looking at that myself and I'm like, oh God, that's amazing.
That's the power of marketing. If you look at it from an investment mindset, the ROIs you can get from a good marketing piece, you're not talking, you know, 5%, 10%, 20%. You're talking thousands of percent ROI, you know, that you get from a good marketing piece. A good sales letter can, you know, there's a good saying, you know, you're only one sales letter away from being a millionaire.
Yeah.
And it's true. One good sales letter can make you a millionaire. That's it by itself.
So it's like what people need to do then is they need to find out what is the product that they can put together.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about, you know, we've got those three rules, cut your costs, generate cash, which is what we're discussing here, and then invest the rest. So if you're a coach, for example, and the last podcast we did was about coaching.
Mm.
If you're a coach and you've not yet got a product, then the first thing you need to go off and design is what are you going to sell? What's the problem that you can solve for the person and how much is that worth for them to be solved?
Yes.
And then once you've got that, then speak to someone like Jason who can actually put the copy together to actually get people into that program.
That's right.
And literally, it's a numbers game. If you drive in 1,000 people, I mean, imagine, that's 260 people at a 26% conversion rate at £1,000. So, for example, a 12-week coaching program.
Yep.
You could make £260,000 in the next 12 weeks if you pay Jason between $5,000 and $10,000.
There you go. It adds up.
It's amazing. It's phenomenal. And so what happens is people going, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then what happens is afterwards, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's just, oh, well, I can't afford it. And you know, not everyone can afford between 5 and 10, but that's where you need to be aiming towards. So you've got to be saving up all your money, which is why we have rule number one, cut your costs.
Yes.
Stop smoking, stop drinking, stop your coffee, stop the gym, save up your 10 grand to pay Jason. Mm. And that right there is your golden ticket to making hundreds of thousands of pounds very, very quickly.
Yep, that's right.
And live the life of your dreams. And literally, that's the only difference as to why, because some people are successful and some people fail.
You've totally hit the nail on the head. Yeah, you've got to you've got to approach everything from an investor's mindset.
Yeah.
You know, you look at how you can, you're playing the game, and you look at where can I invest to get massive returns.
Yeah.
And marketing is massive leverage. It's that key word again. Okay, because once it's up, it's making you money. It's like a machine that's making you money while you sleep. That's what you see all the marketers doing. If you just look around you and look at the marketers you see online that are making all the money, you'll notice all of them have some kind of automated marketing system pulling in cash for them.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've just taken off the last 6 to 8 weeks because it's sort of summer holidays and that sort of thing. And we've had kids over and so on. So I've literally stopped working. We did 2 podcasts and that was it. Mm. But it, in those last 6 to 8 weeks, we generated income from new clients.
Yeah.
And because those marketing assets that we talked about before, and I wanted to say about that, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket financially. Marketing asset is something that puts leads in your pocket. And that's really what people are creating here. And so it is an investment. It's not a cost. Mm-hmm. The cost is what it costs you, but the investment is what you're going to get back.
That's right.
And potentially. And when we talk about investment, we talk about it from a financial point of view. I'm not talking about finances. You know, if you did £260,000 in the next 12 weeks, that's not just a financial return that you're getting. That is a lifestyle return.
That's right.
Your wife will love you again, or your husband. Your kids will talk to you again. You can go, or you can dump everybody and travel the world.
And remember, that's just the start. That 260,000 is just the beginning. Yeah. You got to remember, once you have a customer and they're on your list, you have that customer for life.
Yeah.
The more you talk to them, you know, if you have someone interested, let's say you're a coach in property or what have you, they're not just going to stop once they've invested into your programs, they've increased their income double. They're going to want more. They're going to want to expand more, and then you'll be there to help them by providing that.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is problem you are solving for people, whatever type of coach you're doing or business you're providing, they're always going to be more they want from you. So, 250,000 is just the beginning. You know, you're looking at doing more than that every year and having that grow and grow and grow and grow. So the 10,000 or 7.5 you're investing in a copyright, does it really look like that much when you're looking at it from a bird's eye view, when you're actually analyzing what you're getting? You can see it, then it's a drop in the ocean.
So did you say you had access to a resource that you were with a link that you were able to give out, or do you want me just to put that in the notes below the podcast?
Yeah, I can't remember the link, but I'll give it to you. So if you could just put that in the notes below the podcast, that would be great. People just
I'd do that. And for people to make contact with you, people who've listened and want to speak to you specifically, maybe about them getting some copywriting done, what's the best way for people to do that?
The best way to contact me is via email. So what I'll do is on the link to the free report I'm going to give you, 7 steps to cash creating copy. I'll put down all my contact details and Skype on there. And if anyone listening, if you need any help with copy or anything like that, feel free to add me. You know, I'm a sociable guy. I help anyone really. So, if I can help you, you know, add me on there and, you know, get in touch. Don't be shy.
Wonderful. Jason, thank you so much for attending the podcast today. Really appreciate it. It's definitely been enlightening and mind opening, and a big thank you from everybody else who's listening as well.
It's been a pleasure, Daniel. Thank you for inviting me.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.